Hey, guys, this is Wayne Free, and this is my Monday night conference call. And tonight I have Carla Ruckert as my special guest. Although, since I don't live in a world of possession, this is really not my call. And Carla and I are just visiting on this line, and you guys are listening in. So we've just come up. Hang on just a second.
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
Okay, I just muted everybody. Wait a second.
Please enter your...
Wait a second.
Please wait. You are not authorized to start a recording at this time. Please contact customer service if you need assistance.
Everyone on BBS is hearing all of this. Okay. So, what am I doing wrong?
You got me. There were like three beeps back there. I thought you might have been a joke.
Please enter your subscriber PIN followed by the pound sign. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
There
all
we go.
Right.
High tech in action.
Yeah.
So, Carl and I had an interesting interchange where she said, Wynn, how are you? And then she said, oh, you're not supposed to say that. And we started this new repartee where you say, hi, I love you. but you have to mean it, okay? For those of you that are tuning in and are not familiar with Carla, which is probably you are, but those of you who are not, Carla is the person who channeled the Ra Law of One books in 1981 through 1984 and probably has a worldwide reputation as being one of the most high-integrity, scientifically careful channels on the planet. And for those of you that read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, her work was referred to extensively through that book. And we are honored to continue in our series. This will be the last of our series until the end of the summer, and maybe Carla will grace us again with her presence. But I always have questions, and I've read The Law of One and probably absorb it at quite a deep level. So there's really interesting questions about this. If you're not familiar with The Law of One, if you're tuning in, should I explain this? Maybe I explain it, because I'm kind of good for first intros, and then you can correct me.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. That this is my understanding of the Law of One, that in 1981, Carla had a partner who was a very intelligent PhD named Don Elkins, and Carla was already channeling, and he asked a question that was very deep, and a voice came through Carla. She went unconscious. The voice came through her that said, I am Ra, and to answer, this is my paraphrase, to answer that question, we have had to go to a deeper level of trance and a higher connection. So over the next 4 years, there were a series of questions and answers between Don Elkins and this voice that identified itself as Ra. And there were many things in that discussion about the history of human evolution that I don't believe were ever in the history of mankind brought forth. And of course, when things are being explained that you don't have the ability to verify personally, then it's up to each person to say, does this make sense? But for me, it did make sense, and for a lot of people, it explains some of the mysteries of evolution, soul-level evolution, that are far beyond a human to comprehend on their own. For example, Ra described itself as a social memory complex or group soul, and that they explained that there were two planets in our solar system. One was Mars, and one was Maldek. Maldek blew itself up. It became the asteroids, and Mars had some kind of calamity where the population was totally... Where the population was totally destroyed. Where are we getting that sound from?
I have no idea. It sounds like a child.
Yeah. Everyone's supposed to be on mute. Let me double check.
All callers are muted.
Okay. Where these two planets, the populations were destroyed. And, you know, of course, if we have souls, which I believe we do, or if we have a spirit in a matrix, Ra said they actually moved the souls from those planets, which no longer could incarnate on those planets, to our planet to re-continue their evolution. And I believe it was the Martians that came in. I think it was the Martians, but it might have been the Maldekians, maybe both, came in as Neanderthal man. So now I want you to visualize this. Here we have a universe that has this group soul, this pure energy, that spread through our solar system, or actually probably beyond that, that this energy can now operate by some kind of will and intention and pick up a soul from one planet and move it to another planet where it can then take a body on that planet and resume its series of lifetimes and its evolution. And apparently, this is a way that evolution works all over the universe. I don't know if it's Ra that always moves souls from one place to another, but that's a pretty powerfully big source that allegedly can move souls. Did that, Carla, now I'm speaking about all this, and how did, first of all, did I say that okay? Is everything fairly accurate?
Well, there were a couple of notable overgeneralizations which could be further explained, but in the main, you were fine.
Yeah. So, what did you think when you read that yourself? Don't you think that's kind of an awesome thing that there's a group energy that's composed of graduates of this realm that move souls from one planet to another?
Well, I think that. It's a little misleading the way you say it, because the actual story from Ra was not only that one of the guardians was in charge of the project of taking the souls, which were in their energy bodies, mind you, and moving them by energetic means into the unseen realms or the inner planes of this planet, where they would enter in the vibration, which was their nature, so that they would not incarnate at first into bodies, but incarnate into the unseen realm. So within the confines of that cosmology, it's not wild, it's logical. I think the kicker in this particular tale is Yahweh, who, according to those of Ra, was the guardian, and who decided to diddle with the grade eight bodies, as the Martians were coming in, to make them smarter, more agile, more adept. They thought it would help them to learn the Law of One. Unfortunately, it turned the other way, and to this day, you've got those doggone Martians sort of, you know, seeking empire after empire in some kind of odd desire to recapitulate the Martian experience. It's a pretty good story. I don't know. I personally am not as swung by any of that, because it is, you know, on the level of myth, as you pointed out. You believe it or not believe it. You think it explains things or not, but it can't be proven. The value that I have, that I have had ever since the 80s, and I mean, obviously I've got an ego problem here because I love the material, but I really don't identify with it. It came through me. It didn't come from me. Anyway, the valuable thing to me, Wynn, is the cosmology itself, the wide, spacious, deep, infinite cosmology that explains the creation and why we're here and where we're going and what the rules of the game are.
Mm-hmm.
It's so self-consistent. I read philosophy in college. I took every course university had. I absolutely love philosophy, and I've taken some religion courses too, so I'm familiar with a lot of systems of thought, and I have never seen one that is self-consistent to the depth and purity that the Law of One material is. That's what really makes me just, I stay with it, you know. My husband and I have a morning offering, and every day of our lives we get together, we read from the Bible, I sing a hymn, I make a prayer, and we have a silent meditation, and we read from a couple, three sources and other than the Bible, and one of them is the Law of One. And, you know, in all those years, it's never failed to meet me where I am. It never gets stale, which I think people say is usually the mark of good inspirational material.
You know,
and I do find it to be that.
An interesting question is that how does the Law of One connect with the Bible and Jesus? I mean, I have my ideas about that, but I wanted to hear, you know, obviously Jesus is an icon for you, which helps connect you to Source, and as is Ra. But as a traditional Christian would look at this and obviously think there was something really off in channeling in the Ra material. So how do you relate to both things, and how do you reconcile them in your own mind?
Well, actually, there's nothing to reconcile. There's nothing religious about the Law of One. There's no dogma. There is no closed system. It's an open system. What it is a cosmology, and the definition of a cosmology is simply a story that tells the story of creation. It says how everything's built, what it's made of, why it's here, how it works. And I think that cosmology offers a place when it's talking about how energy works and how the energy body works and what the work is of the open heart and what it is to seek the gateway to intelligent infinity. It shows you places where a religion such as Christianity fits. It doesn't say anything about it except that this is its function. This is how it works in your energy body. So there's no conflict between the two. And I don't do the Christian dogma anyway. And thank God I'm a cradle Episcopalian, and we Episcopalians reserve the right to go to church just because we love Jesus, and we don't know whether the virgin birth is true or whether, heck, I don't even know if he for sure, you know, how can one know for sure if he resurrected or if it's just him up on the cross suffering for mankind and his intention. I don't really care.
Did you read your own quote channeling about that? There was a very interesting quote channeling.
I don't remember the channel. So I'm free to invent something all over again, I guess.
I happen to remember, and because I thought it was a fascinating answer, because somebody asked that. And, you know, I'm talking about her quote channeling, and let me just mention that Carla channeled Ra up to the year 1984, and then her partner passed, and then
I went back to doing conscious channeling, which I've been doing since 1974.
Yeah, then a new form came through, which identified itself as Quo,
right,
which was a combination of Ra, Lot, Way, and Hatan,
right?
And you know, I have a comment. I came to a conclusion about that. Or a premise or a hypothesis about how that all works. And I wanted to ask you if you think I'm right. But before we do, I just wanted to follow through and complete the
thought.
Yeah,
you were going to talk about what you thought about how the raw material and Christianity could go together or not.
Well,
Had a problem? Or I didn't know that you were a Christian, actually.
Well, no, I never had a problem.
I thought that you would be one of those fellows that worship trees and paint themselves blue.
Me?
I'm teasing you. Anyway, how do you feel about that?
About Ra and Christianity?
Yeah.
Well, I think, and I think this is in your material, I think that, you know, Ra said that Jesus was a fourth density wanderer, correct?
Right. Fourth going into fifth.
Fourth going into fifth.
Yeah, this is sort of his graduation present to himself.
Yeah, and I think that, I think that Ra was connected to Jesus. I mean, I think that, I'm not sure about this, but maybe when Jesus was getting direction, it might have been from the high levels of the rock group connecting to him. And,
well, nothing says it's impossible. It could be.
Yeah. And I think that, well, I think that Ra can be in this realm as a kind of energy. Like, the ability to channel Ra is a very rare experience. But, you know, they say that if you call on them, you know, what do they say?
Usually it's Kuo that says that, or Hatan, that'll say, you know, just, we'll be glad to be with you. I don't think Ra ever said that, but...
I think they did.
Kuo says it often. If you can find it in the quotes, I'll be glad to hear about it. I don't remember.
It seems to me they said, we answer those who call on us. And I think Don asked how many people call and they gave a number, I think.
They were talking about how many people would be interested in what they had to say and not in how many people they contacted.
I see. So...
But I do think that in the Confederation, it's very common for the person to ask for the presence of one of the Confederation beings. I was talking to a guy the other day who said that he had screwed up and asked for several of them, and that he didn't know which one he got.
Uh-huh.
But at any rate, he could certainly feel the energy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that. I mean, you know, I'm talking, I've had conversations with the Elohim, and it's like, and, well, that I can feel, okay, what happens is, I feel a certain energy, and then I ask them about it. In fact, the first time this actually became apparent to me was with Terry Brown, and we were having a conversation. So I asked them, I said, so can you guys, like, create an orb in the room? And they said, well, we already have, but it's from the sky to the earth. and then I kind of, like, looked at my energy field and looked in the room, and I could see these light flecks in the room, and I could feel this hugeness of the space. And so I kept running that by me when I would channel and when I would feel that connection, and it was quite consistent. And, you know, when I give a talk, when I give a public talk, and a lot of people feel this, that energy is there in a big way. I mean, like, I used to give talks, and Terry would sell books outside of the talks, and people would walk up to her and say, I could see auras actually, I didn't tell her. They were talking amongst each other, saying they could see auras or they could see light in the room. And I kept gathering that data and asking questions about it. And that was one of the ways that they would, intervene in this realm.
The Elohim.
The Elohim has light energy. And that apparently Ra could do the same thing, but it was a different energy field. It was like Ra would work more inside. Now, you know, I'm talking to the expert on law, so please don't think I'm telling you my answers to questions, so I'm not saying it's right or wrong. These are just answers that they gave me. So they said that Ra worked closer to the chakra systems and was actually, could become one with a person energetically. And the Elohim was more distant, beaming down love light energy, little flecks, and I know you've seen those flecks in the space. And that the two group souls were different in that Ra was made up of graduates of this realm, and the Elohim group that I was speaking to was comprised of energies that never had incarnations.
Because they're angels.
But Elohim have had incarnations, but when they do, they usually get stuck here. And in fact, the interesting thing is, the Elohim that would take incarnations oftentimes would end up being the negative in this realm, because they would come in with this huge power, and they forgot that they came here with a positive intent, but because they had a lot of power, their DNA was more activated, they could control other beings. So that's how perhaps the what was called the Anunnaki were fallen Elohim that were in this realm. I don't know. Those were some of the answers to my questions about that. And
the initial question, if I'm not mistaken, was how does Christianity swear or not swear with the Confederation philosophy. I'm not sure you ever nailed that. I'd be interested in what you had to say.
Well, you know what? If the essence of the Ra material is the law of one, okay?
Yeah,
and
which it definitely is.
And the essence of the law of one is to perceive oneness, to perceive it. You can take it as an idea and say we're all one.
Right.
But the actual manifestation of oneness in this realm is compassion.
Right. Lynn, I got to tell you, it's uncanny. I told you, I wrote an article today, and you're talking about the article. Do you normally get my articles, or should I send it to you special? There's a
send
it to me
special.
Okay. So go right ahead. I just had to comment.
Yeah.
Kind of wild.
So if compassion compassion is the essence of the law of one, and the essence of Christianity is compassion, love your neighbor as yourself, when two or more gathered, I am also present. I mean, I have this whole way of explaining this, like with the idea of holograms and expansion of holograms, but when I could start to perceive the light energy come into the space when I would give a talk, and other people could see it, and I could watch the crowd, and I could see this light energy dancing around people, and then as soon as somebody, it was like intelligent, it would like suddenly land on somebody, and the person was like feeling it. I could look at them and say, did you get that? They'd feel it. So I said to myself, this seems to be, if I was around in Jesus' time and I saw something like this, and I was trying to explain it, that could be what the Holy Spirit was, okay? The same idea. And so, to me, I think the Holy Spirit was the energy of group souls beaming into this realm, and Jesus was a catalyst and a bridge to create that. That's how I see the connection.
Okay.
Does that make any sense to you?
Not a lot, but it doesn't have to. It's not my cosmology, it's yours.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful.
Well, you know, it's
it doesn't have to make sense, right? It just has to be the way you have it figured out. I mean, I think we all tell a story to ourselves, and your story is a beautiful one.
Well, you know what?
Hopefully mine is as well.
It's like, how do you figure out? Your mind doesn't have to figure it out. You can just notice things and say, it is what it is. But then when you go to explain it to other people or you want to share it, it's like the tool is the communication. So I have to figure out how to explain the phenomena that I sit in the middle of, you know?
I think you help to open people's minds to the possibilities. And sometimes, your answers are always sink right in, whereas sometimes I might get off on a technical point and become uninteresting to some. Although to myself, I'm making perfect sense and making a good point and so forth. I'm the basic librarian, teacher, researcher mentality that's a born critic and has got to break it down and say, okay, this is the way logic says it flows. Maybe I'm not as good a salesman as you are for the whole concept of there being a bigger box than we thought there was. More in, as Horatio's comment, you know, Hamlet's to Horatio, there's more in heaven and earth than is dreamt of in our philosophy.
Was that Horatio or Shakespeare?
Well, Shakespeare wrote it. Hamlet said it. Horatio heard it.
I see.
As well as most of the rest of us school children ever since the 17th century.
Now, we started to talk about the resurrection of Jesus and that the explanation that was in your quo reading, which you forgot.
Lay it on me.
They said that the whole idea of the resurrection was Jesus' idea to make a contribution, and he was able to cloak himself in some kind of manner, choosing to cloak himself so he would be visible to other people, cloak himself with his own intention of putting together a visual suit, bodysuit, so to speak, that would make him visible to other people. That's my recollection of the quo reading where that question was asked.
Well, you have to find that for me. I don't remember that.
I know it was somebody read it on our, Wayne read it on our Tuesday night session, and I said, that's really fascinating. If the world lasts long enough, someday there'll probably be universities studying all your thousands of readings. Because Carla has a track record of how many readings are posted on your website?
A couple of years ago, the webmaster told me there were over 1,500. So it's probably over 1,600 by now. Or maybe not. I don't channel nearly as often as I used to. I used to channel almost every day because it was just a bigger group and there was a lot more demand. And now I channel once every 2 weeks for 9 months of the year, so I produce 18 public channelings, and then I sometimes do special channelings at a gathering, or someone will pay me, I shouldn't say me, someone will pay L&L Research for me to do a reading for them personally, and so I probably channel at most four dozen times a year now, so it's slowed way down.
If anyone goes into your archives, they may never come out.
Well, only after a prolonged spout of reading. I've heard from about a dozen people through the years that said I've read the whole thing. But, you know, they said that, you know, I'm sitting off the edge of the bed, like somebody would say, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. You know, and it's got like mental indigestion from overdosing on good stuff. But, you could dip into it anywhere. I often do myself, because when I'm writing an article, sometimes I'd like to make a point with a quote, and I'll just dip in there and find one by Googling, the site search. And it's lovely to go into those and find helpful things to share with people. I have a good time with my article. I write an article a week or thereabouts. Sometimes I miss, but for UPI, and it's called A Small Medium at Large. I have a blog there, and so I write about difference makers, and somebody writes in with a question, I'll write about it. Yeah, it's fun. I enjoyed it. It's a great outlet, and it's a great chance for me to sort of browse back through on various subjects and share good quotes with people. Of course, I know you do the same thing every Tuesday, reading some of it out loud.
I don't do that. One of the guys in our group does that. But I mean, it's under my auspices, and we've been doing it now for a couple of years, and I mean, the thing about the quo readings is, if you're familiar with channelings, this is not, I don't think there's anything anyone does that's anywhere close to the quo readings, because they're so intelligent, they're so articulate, they approach things from so many different ways, they explain things that no one could ever figure out, and it all is this coherent, totally. I mean, if you look at the raw material as being a coherent philosophy, when you add the quo readings going into that, I don't think there's any deviation from the quo. It's a different tone. It's a different sound. And this is something I wanted to ask you. This is like a way that, you know, I have kind of like a creative way of trying to figure things out. And what I feel, and I wanted to run this by you because I don't even know if you ever thought about it this way, but initially you were channeling Ra with Don Elkin, and Don was, you could call him your ground, like he was holding the space for Ra to come through. Is that okay to say it that way?
To say my what? G-R-A, what? Sounded like you said growl?
No, not
he
growl,
was my
ground. Ground.
Definitely. Yeah. He and Jim both. Actually, yeah. Jim more than Don.
Really?
Being a battery and a ground.
Uh-huh.
All that earth energy. You know, he's a Taurus.
Okay. Well, you know, I want you to fill in my own holes here in understanding, because this is the thought that I had, that when Don and Jim were, I feel when I'm a ground for someone else that's channeling, that I'm holding a part of the hologram that allows them to reach into the source that they reach into. It's kind of like I'm filling in a space that that eventually they may be able to fill in themselves. But when
I don't think so, Wynn. That's not the way I see a battery is working. The way I experience a battery working is just like a battery. I mean, it's an energetic connection that strengthens the energy field of your body and your energy body and your ability to hold a steady tuning. It's a battery. I don't see it in terms of holding the space. I see it in terms of holding a level of vibration, and that level of vibration is like the tuning of a radio station, and the channeling process pulls the source to which you're tuned through the gateway and down into the heart chakra, and then it bounces back up into the Blu-ray because of the channeling process being, you know, communicative in nature. But you're doing something energetic, and the space is being created by the action of the will of the channel herself. As she sets the intention to reach through that gateway and ask for information and inspiration from above. So that space is created by the intention and by her willingness to give her energy to that service to others. Mm-hmm. And you're like the juice, you know, the dynamo that keeps the energy steady so that she can do this action. And actually, in order to support an outer source channel, I would never work with less than two batteries, a circle of three, to get that universal energy going.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, my thought, anyway.
You know what? I'm not sure you're saying something different, but that we're saying in different words. But let me say it in a different way, in my way, because this is an interesting topic. And when two people are together and they have a high spiritual intent, my One of the ways that I describe that is that they have a blending of energies, that each of us has a hologram that goes back to source, okay, potentially. And each of us...
I don't know what that means. I've never been real clear on holographic technology, and it's more meaningful to you than to me. I would say that two people exchange energies as they have potential differences, and that creates an energy system, which is like electricity that's been turned on. And there's an actual, there's an exchange. And sometimes in my life I've actually thought that, shaking somebody's hand that's really present and really there, and it's like a little sexual experience. It's bam. And the energy is exchanged. It's very clean and pure and nice, but it's definitely energetic. And I think that as long as you're willing to share energy with somebody, that you can have an amazing connection, and that circuit is just live. And so it's like you have an energy field around you both, and it's made of your blended auras. I think we're probably in the same ballpark. There are a few points of difference in how you envision it happening, where you're creating the space, whereas I would say, well, no, you're creating the energy so that the channel is able to create a space. And it's not just that you're blended, but it's that the blending gives the person that's actually manifesting the channeling the opportunity to make that particular contact at that particular level. The channel is only part of the group. It's the group vibration that gets the source. It's the group that has to be tuned, not just the channel. So I think we're saying two parts of the same thing. In one part of it, the channel herself or himself is doing a unique and specific piece of service. And no matter how many batteries there are, none of them is doing that. In the other sense, this particular service involves pulling something through that is being pulled through because of the tuning of you and the channel, whoever is in the group and the channel. So I think that's just two aspects of the same thing.
I think so, too. I think that we're not saying... I'm using the word
hologram. There's nothing clashing here. No flashing polka dots. It all works.
Yeah, I'm using the word hologram, and you're using the word energies. And
probably means the same thing if I would just look up holograms, but they've always sort of dazzled me.
Yeah.
You know, I've always thought they were better. It was better I didn't know. You know, I can preserve the mystery.
Okay. Well, it's still a mystery. It's just, it's like you're trying to find words to describe the...
That's so true. We're talking about the things that go beyond words.
Yeah. I mean,
isn't it glorious that they do?
The way that I work is that I reverse engineer stuff. I watch things extremely carefully in the physical. And usually there's a pattern that the energy form that's not in the physical becomes somewhat, I become cognizant of that energy form through watching the pattern in the physical. And then I learn about the energy. And if it's totally consistent, I start to think I got it right, you know? So this, my so the word holograms comes from very careful observation in the physical and realizing that a person's, for me, the way I look at it, a person's physical body is like a projection of an energy that comes from another realm. And,
And I would say that that's the energy body.
Yeah.
So your hologram, I guess, is the same as my energy body.
Yeah. The only difference, or the only addition, is that this energy body or this hologram is unlike our physical body, which is finite and always
temporary,
the same.
Limited.
The energy body is constantly changing, and every time you do anything, see, to me, this is the law of one, a way of interpreting the law of one in a big way. This is my way of interpreting it, that the energy body is constantly changing depending on what you think, who you think about, the environment you're in. It's all like recreating the energy body from moment to moment. And the energy body can actually expand into different densities, but it's still coming down to a physical body. So what is the phenomena of an energy body expanding into different densities? It's kind of like, you know, they talk about sacred geometry as the way densities interrelate.
Well, the way the Confederation explains it is that this energy body that we have is the horse we rode in on. Our consciousness came into this body, took this opportunity for incarnation at some point between shortly before conception to somewhat after the birth. And the energy body intertwines itself inextricably during life with the physical body, molding itself up the spine into the head, off the top of the head, and linked by the silver cord. This is also the horse we'll ride out on when we move through the gateway into larger life, and adios, and, you know, kiss the horse, and it's off into the sunset and to the wonderful adventures beyond. And so, yes, the energy body is quite capable of moving into other realms, but there are, as you noted, subtleties to the energy body, and certainly the Confederation would agree completely that it's a constantly flowing thing, and energy from the Creator is always being pulled up into red ray at the base of the spine from the Creator in infinite supply. And the trick is, of course, to keep the chakras open, the red ray of survival and sexuality, the orange ray of personal relationships, relationships with yourself and with other people on a private basis, then, of course, the yellow ray in the pit of the stomach there, where the family issues, any kind of formal relationship, marriage, children, work, all of those things, and then trying to keep all of that energy, keep that flowing through those energy centers into the green ray of the open heart, which is the basis of the beginning of spiritual work. So you really want to keep that energy pathway open. But, of course, everything that happens to you, you know how if somebody swings at you, you duck, and if somebody laughs, you laugh back. And things are always, you know, evolving and flowing in your emotional life. It's like it's very liquid. So is your energy body. It's always turning all various colors and shades because of your emotions, how you're feeling, how you're responding to what's going on. And then, of course, as you begin to do the spiritual work and you're working more and more, bouncing from your green ray into blue ray communication and indigo ray, work in beingness and consciousness, you experience more and more of a richness of flow. And as you open the gateway to intelligent infinity, you're starting to pull down, the system starts to open from both ends, and you're getting energy into the body, into the energy body from the gateway, as you're attempting to be of service to others by meditating, praying, channeling, teaching, whatever it is, you know, healing. So it's an exciting system, and it's exciting to know that the energy body doesn't have the distortions, as Ra would say, from a factory model that you came in as. The energy body remains intact and does not age. So it's a wonderful thing to know that you're not limited to your physical body, and that experience is a stream, and you came in and you will go out, and the experience will continue. So I think it's a wonderful thing to think about your energy body. And if you want to think of it as a hologram, I guess, that's just fine. But the thing that would aggravate me is just a logical thing that I guess it's silly, but a hologram is a fake, you know, is a representation of something that's real. Whereas I think that the energy body is realer than our physical body. That's the only thing.
I see. It's the, you know what? We should. I should open the line up and see if anyone has any questions, because I'm hogging your attention here.
All callers are unmuted.
Do any of you guys have a question you'd like to pose for Carla?
I hear the sounds of silence.
It's not a question so much as an observation. We were talking about how you view our energy. When we hold the light, when you ask us to hold space, and I view myself as expanding my body finite, but my spirit expands, and I see everyone else's spirit expand till we overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And we're holding space. If you have enough people, you could envelop the earth by overlapping our energies.
Well, I think that's so true. The Confederation material says that every time one person joins a group, the energy doubles. So if you think about it, even if you got, you know, 5 people, 10 people, the energy is exponential. And I think, is it Neil Walsh that is holding meditations in various cities, trying to do that exact thing, to spike the grid? And the statistics have been interesting on that, because wherever that is being held that weekend, there are fewer crimes. People report being in better moods. You know, it's an interesting study. I wish I could remember where I saw it.
You know, that's something the Maharishi.
It's like we're a lighthouse, you know, and the more people, the more candle power we have, you know, the bigger a light. So I think you're exactly right, and I think it's something that really, if we were conscious of it, you know, a group like this getting together on the radio, we're doing that. So, you know, if we lean into it and we bless it and we say, yes, let's do that, then I think it's going to be a very powerful lighthouse. Praise the Lord.
Was that Donna who asked that question?
No, Sharon.
Sharon, okay, great. We actually, every Sunday morning, Carla, we do exactly what you're describing. We do a healing session on a conference line.
Uh-huh.
And we have
that's terrific.
We have people calling
you.
Yeah. You know, I'll give you the number. Maybe sometime. You go to church on Sunday, though, but
I do. I sing.
It's like we've had some miraculous things happen as a result of what we're doing. Because I look at this stuff as like an experiment. I'm trying to figure out how it all works and how we work with those guys. And you know, you're talking about invisible realms, wanting to make sure it's positive and whatever. So we've been doing this for a while, and it's been quite amazing. Does someone else have a question? Now, computer's on, and you see the BBS phone number, which I don't have. You can feel free to call it. Also, we probably go for another 3 or 4 minutes officially.
Well, you know, they'll cut me off.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to give you the phone number, so in case, if you want to come back on, just dial up and you'll be on our conference line.
No, I think this is a good time for me. I've been on for a while. I'm ready to go eat supper.
Enough time, right? Okay.
Yeah, enough.
Do you feel when you do something like this, you absorb a lot of energies?
Well, hopefully we're part of a group that isn't absorbing the energy as much as rotating it in between us all. So that we're all getting the combined energies of the group as we spin them. And then I think at the end, you know, it's really good to honor that sacred energy by saying, you know, Lord, as we let this beautiful sacred energy that we've gathered in this group go back to you, we place it in our hopes and our dreams and our prayers for healing, and especially for peace in the world and peace in our hearts, and to be better stewards of Gaia. And that's the way we end our meditations here at Camelot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that every group has the potential of being a lighthouse, and it's good to lean into that and be attentive to the moment. As Rick Pitino calls it, the precious present. I like that phrase.
I have time for one more question, I think. Somewhere I heard this or read this, that they said the groups you were doing and the fact that people were supporting them was looked upon as a very important indication from the higher realms.
Yeah, we've gotten some confirmation of that regularly. Psychic groups will write in and say, what you're doing is important. And all we're doing is holding meditation every night at 9 o'clock here in the house and inviting people all over the world to join us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing that. Funny, you know how that started, Wynn?
Mm-hmm.
About 3 weeks before 9/11, I had a guy that says one of the original inhabitants of the planet, the elder race, wrote me, and he communed with Gaia every day, and his name for planet Earth, some say Gaia, some say Gaia, let's call the whole thing off. Anyway,
depends whether you live in West Hollywood.
He wrote in and he said that he was very concerned because Gaia wouldn't talk to him anymore, said that she was set up with humans, and she was just, her heart was broken, they didn't care anymore, and she just wasn't going to commune anymore with humans, and so he wrote and said, do something. So Jim and I talked about it and decided that we'd have a Gaia meditation every night at 9, and we started that, and by golly, 3 weeks later, 911, well, it's no wonder she was upset, you know, in the psychic realm. They know about stuff before we do, you know, before it manifests. It starts there. And so, you know, here she was heartbroken, and we responded. So it felt really good, and we've kept it up ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, once in a while, a new group will write in and say
all callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing *6.
Carla?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I just muted my callers because there was a little too much noise.
Well, I was done. So.
You are. Yeah, good.
Yeah, over to you.
You know what? I don't know if we're still on. We're like at the wire for BBS.
Well, we must be still on because he cuts me off when the radio stops.
Let's just tell everybody to about your website, llresearch.org.
Right.
And
the other one, the community one with the blogs and the chat rooms and stuff.
Bring 4.
B-R-I-N-G 4th.org.
Okay.
Please come
and,
see
us. And if you go to Amazon and do a search on Carla's name, or Carla Ruckert, R-U-E-C-K-E-R-T, you will find her books. She's got a book on paneling. She's got all kinds of books up there, and they're fascinating. So, all right. God bless you. I think I'll stay on the conference line for those people. We finish with a silent meditation and say goodbye to everyone on BBS.